evangel is generic. It's not holy. Well, it is holy in that it was separated by God as a word to be used in the scripture, but it merely means well message. It's a message of wellness. And it can be generic. It can be someone telling you that your fly is down. That's a well message. No, you don't think that's good news? No, it's very good news, because then you could put your fly up. All right, so well message, I use that example because as I read the Ionian Evangel of the Unveiling, chapter 14, verses 6 through 13, you're going to have to squint and look through jelly-smeared glasses to see how this could be good news of any kind. This is not preached to the world, it's preached over the world. It is preached specifically to those poor Israelites who were not the special ones. Well, they're special, but they're not special of the special, as I discussed at some time in the past. But there is a vast throng of Israelites who are not sealed, who are going to be going through a difficult time period. This is Martin Zender. Welcome again to the Revelation series. Moving on from the 144,000, I turn to the Unveiling, chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. John speaking again. Excuse me, that wasn't John, that was me. He may have sneezed right at this time, I don't know. Perhaps I'm a prophet here, but I don't think so. I'll just take full credit slash blame for that one. And I perceived another messenger flying in mid-heaven. Flying in mid-heaven. So this is obviously a celestial messenger, having an Ionian evangel to preach over those situated on the earth and over every nation and tribe and language and people. Now, a big word here is over. This evangel, it's very brief evangel. It's kind of a sicko evangel. It's not a heavy hitter. Well message, not a heavy hitter. The two heavy hitters of the well messages in scriptures, the evangels or the gospels, as the King James translates it, are the gospels of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. Those are huge gospels that have to do with salvation, Ionian salvation. Well, you might say that this relates to the Ionian salvation of Israel. But again, the term Ionian, this is going to come to a shock, as a shock to many of you. The word Ionian is also generic. It doesn't have to describe the epical eons, eon 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. An eon is any period of time. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for an eon. Olam is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek word ion. And the temple of Solomon was said to be everlasting, in other words, Aeonian, because it was destroyed. That's not an epical eon, is it? No, that is a period of time. I haven't seen you for an eon. That's a legitimate saying. Doesn't mean I haven't seen you since Noah got off the boat back in the year whenever. That is demarcating epical eons, eons that are epics. No, but that is a undetermined, indistinct period of time. That's all an eon is. It's a generic word. Likewise with evangel. An evangel can be the evangel of our salvation. You always have to qualify this word. The evangel of the circumcision. The evangel of the uncircumcision. The evangel of your fly is down. Zip it up now. Now. That's an evangel. When you eulogize someone at a funeral, that is an evangel. You're speaking well of them. You should do it when they're alive. Don't wait until they die. That's my recommendation to you. Don't send flowers to somebody after they're dead. Send it to them while they're alive. It reminds me of the joke of the two guys on the putting green. And there, one man's getting ready to putt. But just then, he sees a funeral procession going down the road. He stops, he pauses, he puts his hand over his heart until the funeral procession has gone its way. His partner is quite impressed, says, "Jerry, wow, I didn't know you had such respect in your heart for the deceased. That's just fantastic." Jerry says, "Well, we would have been married 50 years tomorrow." Yeah, so an evangel does not have to be epical, just like an eon doesn't have to be epical. This evangel, again, can hardly be called one. And yet it is. And so I will attempt to interpret this for you. Or better yet, I'll just believe what's written. "I perceived another messenger flying in mid-heaven, having an Aeonian evangel to preach over those situated on the earth and over every nation, every tribe, every language and people, saying with a loud voice." Here's the first line of this Aeonian evangel. This Aeonian evangel is only for the end of this current eon. Only for the end of it. It's not for the kingdom eon. Certainly not for the new heavens and the new earth eon. It's not even for this eon. Per se, whatever that means, per se, what does that mean? It's for the end of this eon. Here's the first line of it. "Fear God and be giving glory to him, seeing that the hour of his judgment came, and worship the maker of heavens and the wind and the sea and the springs of water." Why those three things, wind, sea, springs of water? Don't know. Probably because the winds, the air has been afflicted, the sea has been afflicted, the springs have been afflicted during this day of indignation. And they are to those to whom this evangel is aimed, and I'm going to tell you who that is in a moment. They are to worship the maker of the heavens, and the heavens are disrupted as well during this time. They are to worship the maker of the heavens and the wind and the sea and the springs of water. That will be a hard thing to do when these things are falling apart, being poisoned. Heaven is throwing out its comets and cupids and donners and blitzens, and the springs are being spoiled, the sea, a third of it ruined by blood. It's going to be difficult in that time for the people alive then on the earth to worship the maker of the sea and the springs of water and the heavens. Let's go on. "And another, a second messenger follows, saying," this is still part of the Aeonian evangel. The Aeonian evangel is not an epical evangel that belongs to either your salvation or the ultimate salvation of the Jews for the kingdom. This is a specific evangel. Context, context, context. For those Jews living at the time of the indignation. And not only those Jews living at the time of the indignation, but those who are not included in the 144,000. In other words, I believe this is for the vast throng. Remember, there was a great company or a vast throng besides the 144,000 who are scattered among all the nations of the earth. Israelites, who are Israelites. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again. Only God knows who the real Israelites are genetically. Their pedigree. They don't have their papers. No, they don't have their papers. But God knows. God doesn't need papers. God's got a big file cabinet. Not really, but figuratively speaking, it's in his mind, in his brain, his giant brain. God does have a giant brain, and he has the names of the children of Israel. And even though they may have lost their national identity over the years, God knows who they are, and it is to them this evangel has come. And we're going to get into the details as we go through this. I'm just hitting the highlights here as I read this passage from the unveiling, chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. "And another, a second messenger follows, saying, it falls, Babylon the great has made all nations drink of the furious wine of her prostitution." Now I can sort of see that, that's verse 8, as an evangel, Babylon falls. It's not hard to construe that as an evangel. I guess in the previous statement, the good news part of that would be that the hour of his judgment came. This would be good news to Israel because God is not judging them. He's judging the world. He's judging those who have persecuted Israel. And then now there's a third messenger. This is the overview now. There's a third messenger who is now taking the baton from the second messenger to proclaim the rest of the Aeonian evangel. This is the last messenger for this Aeonian evangel. A third messenger follows them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone is worshiping the wild beast," sounds like the nun I had as principal of my grade school. "If anyone is worshiping the wild beast, if anyone is making a paper airplane," it's a scolding type of voice. I hear the same thing happening here. "If anyone is worshiping the wild beast and its image and is getting the emblem on his forehead or on his hand, he also is drinking of the wine of God's fury." Oh boy, it's hard to know why you would call that wine, "which has been blended undiluted in the cup of his indignation, and he will be tormented in fire and sulfur before the holy messengers and before the lampkin." And that's an Aeonian evangel. There's going to be literal fire and sulfur. This is not the lake of fire. This is not the lake of fire being described here. "And the fumes of their torment are ascending for the eons of the eons." The fumes of their torment, not the torment themselves. First of all, this is describing people who will take the mark of the beast. Not just people, probably specifically Israelites. "And it is the fumes of their torment that is ascending, not the torment themselves, for the eons of the eons." Humans cannot be tormented in fire and sulfur for 5 minutes, let alone for the eons of the eons. I'll explain that phrase to you as well, why there is a plural on both eons, the eons of the eons. Okay, I'll do it now to keep you from, you know, vexing over this overnight. We're including part of the third eon and the fourth eon. That's the simple answer to that. We're not just looking at one eon, eon three, this eon, or the next eon, eon four. The fumes of this torment is going to begin in the day of indignation. There's going to be a literal fire and literal sulfur, just like came out. This, in fact, might be it. Remember fire and sulfur? Didn't the two witnesses call down fire and sulfur? Or they call, which is, it makes sense, because fire and sulfur back in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's literal. I'm telling you, most of the time, almost all the time, the fire in the book of Revelation is literal, and the sulfur is literal. And you have to take it literal unless you have a damn good reason for taking it figuratively. So people are tormented in fire and sulfur. Of course they are. It hurts. Ow. Ooh, fire, sulfur. Ooh. The fire is, ooh, sulfur is, ah. So there you have it. And so the fumes will ascend. Not their torment. You can only be tormented so long, then you die. The fumes will ascend. Apparently this is going to happen around the Dead Sea area. Great sulfur content there. I realize I'm being mocked right now by those who make everything in the Bible figurative. I understand that. Laugh away. Keep laughing. That's fine. I can take it. I can handle it. Because this revelation, taken literally, is the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, it's up for the interpretation of anyone. And anyone's interpretation is as good as the next person's. But as I keep saying, if we follow laws of languages, we have a much better chance of making sense and being consistent and applying the same laws to all the different passages. The laws don't change, the passages do. Let's run the passages through the filter of the laws and see what we come up with. And it's going to be consistent when we default to the literal interpretation. I'm a huge champion of that, as you know. So they have no rest day and night. See, day and night, this is an eternity, by the way. I mean, that should go without saying, because you're an intelligent audience. This is not eternity. Nobody's being tormented for eternity. I'm arguing that they're not even being tormented for a long time. They're not even being tormented for the eons of the eons. Unlike the beast adversary and the false prophet. We'll be getting there in unveiling chapter 20, a year from now. Well, maybe sooner. I'm arguing for the fact that their torment doesn't last long. It's the fumes of the torment that is ascending for the eons of the eons. The fumes of the torment. The evidence that torment has taken place in this area. It's going to be an area on the earth. You figurative finagling foo-foos out there who laugh at my literal if possible. And it is very possible to have fire and sulfur coming from somewhere in a judgment capacity that will torment people. I tell you what, making sense for a living is hard. I will be back here tomorrow to do it again, though, because I'm a glutton for enjoyment.